You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org. Julie Silver is author of After Cancer Treatment, published by Johns Hopkins Press. She is medical director at a unit of the Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital in Boston and also director of Restore, an oncology rehabilitation program. Dr. Silver, you are a physician who specializes in rehabilitation of patients, and you've treated many people dealing with cancer. When at age 38 you yourself received a diagnosis of cancer, did it alter the way you worked with your cancer patients?
Absolutely. I think that it's impossible to go through a serious illness or injury and not have it affect your life and your outlook to some degree. I think that like most people who go through a serious injury or illness, it didn't change my personality or anything like that, but just gave me some insights that I didn't have. One of the things that was really remarkable to me was how when you go to the doctor, usually, let's say you have pneumonia, you have a high fever, you feel terrible, you're coughing, and the doctor gives you medication that makes you feel better. With cancer, it's often the opposite. You often have the diagnosis picked up on a screening test, and you feel pretty good going in, and then you get treatment that makes you incredibly sick, and when you're sicker than you've ever been, you're done. So that was a real eye-opener to me to sort of see how the healthcare process worked in cancer versus how it works in with other diagnoses.
It was shocking to you how harsh the treatment was?
It was shocking to me not so much how harsh the treatment was, but the fact that you go in feeling so good and at the beginning and at the end you feel so bad. I mean, I knew that cancer treatment was harsh. I mean, I knew that. But I didn't really understand the process of going in and feeling good and then at the end you feel terrible and there's really not a lot of resources to sort of help you feel good again. That you're sort of, you know, left to your own devices usually at the end of treatment. And that's really one of the reasons why I wrote After Cancer Treatment, Heal Faster, Better, Stronger, and why I founded the program Restore, because I wanted to focus on that survivorship segment when people really don't feel good and yet there's a lot of healing that can be done and facilitated.
One of the symptoms for people with cancer is fatigue, which you say for some patients can be more debilitating than pain. What causes fatigue in people with cancer, and what are some good strategies for reducing fatigue?
One of the factors is this cancer-related fatigue, which has to do with the treatment. We don't fully understand, but it has to do with the chemotherapy and the radiation treatment, and it really is a treatment side effect. But at the same time, people may be worried and not sleeping well, or they may have pain, or a lot of times they may have hot flashes during the night that wake them up, or all kinds of things can happen to interrupt their sleep. So getting back on track and sleeping well at night is really important. And what I usually tell people is try giving up your naps during the day, because naps tend to interfere with sleep at night, and instead take rest periods. Don't not rest, but just don't take a nap and go to sleep in the middle of the day. And then talk to your doctor about anything that's keeping you up at night, whether it's hot flashes or getting up to go to the bathroom, or if you're anxious at night, anything that's keeping you up at night, pain, talk to your doctor about and just say, you know, I know that getting a good night's sleep is really important for me to heal, and I'm not getting a good night's sleep, and I'm feeling really tired during the day. How can we address this?
Why is sleep so important for somebody who's recovering from cancer?
Well, sleep has a lot to do with how your body works during the day. And there are also chemical reactions that happen at night during sleep that really help facilitate physical healing. So when I talk about recovery, keep in mind that I'm talking about helping people to physically recover after they've had cancer treatment. I'm not talking about killing cancer cells. I mean, that presumably has been done with the chemotherapy or the radiation and the surgery and whatever else has been done. So my recommendations really focus on how to help people physically recover, get stronger, and regain their former stamina.
Let's talk about a couple of the stages that many people with cancer go through. You've written about both healing plateaus and setbacks in the course of someone who is recovering from cancer. Can you describe these stages, the plateaus and the setbacks, and suggest some constructive ways for handling them?
Sure. One of the things that I think is so important is that people understand that when it comes to healing, and even when it comes to cancer and its treatment, that it usually doesn't happen in this perfectly linear way where you're diagnosed, you get treated, everything goes completely smoothly, you start feeling better, you keep getting better and better and better, and you're done. It just doesn't work like that. And knowing that, and knowing that you can still have a good prognosis, or knowing that the treatments can still work even if you have a setback, is really, really important to share with patients and to help them to understand, because it's incredibly discouraging to be facing a setback and then to not really know what that means. A lot of times doctors are, in their own mind, they're sort of thinking, well, you know, that's not that big a deal. We've seen this 1,000 times and we can get through this and things, but they may not articulate that to the patient. And so the patient's thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is terrible. I have this terrible setback.
You're saying it goes with the territory.
It goes with the territory. Absolutely. Absolutely. And setbacks are obviously when something sort of sets you back, and a plateau is just when you stop moving forward. So both are pretty common.
Can you give some examples of a setback that might frighten somebody, but that in your experience is something that they could work around and progress from?
Absolutely. My colleague, Dr. Carolyn Kalin at Harvard Medical School, wrote a book called Living Through Breast Cancer. And in this book, it's a terrific book, and in this book she described how she had gone in for a lumpectomy, and the margins around the tissue that was taken still had cancer cells. They weren't clean margins. So she went in and had another lumpectomy, and again, the margins weren't clean. So then she went in and had another lumpectomy, and again, the margins weren't clean. And
So somebody could feel quite discouraged by the third round.
By the third round. And in fact, she had 5 rounds. She ended up with a mastectomy and then had a breast reconstruction surgery. So she could feel awfully discouraged. What she may have known, and well, I know that she knew this, but what she may have thought, and I'm guessing at her thoughts here, but what she may have thought is, this is pretty normal. I've seen this 1,000 times with women that I've operated on, and this doesn't necessarily change their prognosis. And yes, it would have been great to get it all out the first time, but we didn't. And so now, you know, 5 surgeries later, we're done. But that doesn't necessarily change her prognosis. It doesn't mean that she has a bad prognosis just because it wasn't all gotten the first time, that she can still have a really good prognosis.
So what are some ways for people to deal with this uncertainty and what at times may seem like, you know, I'm on a sinking ship kind of feeling?
I think recognizing that setbacks are a normal part of the process is really helpful. The other kind of setback that people often have are emotional setbacks, and I talk about them in terms of being ambushed. And here's what an ambush is. An ambush is when you're going along and you're feeling okay about things, and all of a sudden you hear something or someone says something, you see it on television, the radio, somebody says something to you, and your mood plummets. And usually it doesn't have anything to do with you. A classic example was when Elizabeth Edwards came out and revealed that that her cancer was more advanced than previously thought. And many, many people contacted their oncologists and talked to their doctors and just emotionally were very impacted by Elizabeth Edwards' cancer diagnosis.
This is the wife of the former senator and candidate.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's really an emotional ambush, because there's no one except Elizabeth and her family and support group and friends who are affected by that announcement. Of course, we all feel bad when we hear something like that. But that doesn't necessarily, it doesn't at all pertain to any other woman's cancer diagnosis, breast cancer diagnosis. And yet many women really internalize that, and it changed their mood remarkably. So recognizing an ambush and saying, you know, I just heard something that made me feel really bad, but that's not about me. I'm not that person, and that really doesn't have anything to do with my cancer, my diagnosis, my prognosis. That really has to do with that other person, and while I can feel sad for that other person, I can't internalize that and make that information about me and pertain to me.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.